morning, everybody, on 88.1. It's Maryland Morning. I'm Tom Hall here this morning with Nathan Sterner. We are delighted you're with us as well. We begin this morning with a conversation about what two of Maryland's leading institutions are doing to address the longstanding problems in the struggling neighborhoods that bore the brunt of the violence during the riots last April. At the core of the Baltimore uprising is the fact that so many residents in neighborhoods like Penn North and Sandtown Winchester are unemployed or underemployed, with meager prospects for positions that pay a living wage. In August, Morgan State University President David Wilson announced the formation of a task force called Gray Days, Brighter Tomorrows. And last week, Johns Hopkins University and the Johns Hopkins Health System announced an initiative that they're calling Hopkins Local. Both are attempts to address a wide range of problems that have afflicted some of Baltimore's neighborhoods for decades. Dr. Ray Wimbush joins us in the studio. He's the director of the Institute for Urban Research at Morgan State, and he serves on the Morgan Task Force. Natalie Sherman is here as well. She writes about real estate and economic development for the Baltimore Sun. She wrote a piece about the Hopkins Initiative last Wednesday, and welcome to you both. Thanks for being here.
How you doing, Tom?
So, Dr. Wimbush, what's the charge of the task force at Morgan?
Well, you know, Morgan has always been involved with the community across the board. We're just intensifying a lot of the efforts that we already have in place. We just completed, for example, a major study on our Cherry Hill community. Some people are saying it's the most comprehensive study. And what we're trying to do is involve ourselves more in Sandtown, Winchester. We just received a grant that will allow us to be there for a couple of years. The other thing I think is very important is that we're looking at this as a systemic issue, some of the things that are going on in Baltimore. It's not just about jobs, but it's about education. We've got people on the task force in the public health sector, a variety of things.
So when you say you're going to be in Sandtown, West Winchester for a couple of years, for example, under the auspices of this grant, what does that mean?
Well, it means that literally we are going to be talking to residents. We're not going to just talk to a bunch of talking heads to talk about Sandtown, Winchester, but actual residents. We hope to interview some police officers that patrol in that area in the 5th District and so forth. So it's going to be a continued involvement of Morgan State in that area, but just a little more intense.
And the makeup of the task force doesn't include just faculty. It's not scholars like yourself. It's
students, SGA president. We want to hear from students. And we talked at our last first meeting last week, in fact, about involving residents themselves.
Natalie Sherman, you wrote about the Hopkins Local Initiative last week. What are the parameters of what they described at that press conference?
So I think for Hopkins, it was very much about using its sort of leadership and position and role as the city's largest employer in getting jobs. And so it sort of laid out three parameters, three areas that it was focusing on. One was building, one is buying, and one is hiring. And for all of those, they set specific targets that they're trying to meet. The idea is to distribute the business among minority, women, disadvantaged local businesses.
Mm-hmm. And they talked about maybe getting as much as 17% of the construction business that they proffer each year directed towards minority and small businesses.
Yeah, and they've said that they want to do it very targeted. So they're looking specifically at $135 million of construction services that they think they can take 17% of that. So they overall do about $400 to $500 million, I think, a year.
So when they talk about build, hire, and buy, the hire part, is this construction stuff part of that deal, or are they also talking about actual jobs in the Hopkins framework?
It's both. In the Hopkins framework, there are about 432, roughly, entry-level positions every year that they hire. And they think that's where they want to increase some of this participation. In the building and the contracting, there would also be provisions with the firms that they're working with, and then they would penalize those firms, and that's new. That hasn't been built into those contracts before.
So they penalize the firms if they don't use the services of people from Sandtown, people from specific neighborhoods, or
that's for the firms, not necessarily the specific neighborhoods. The direct Hopkins hiring would be the specific neighborhoods.
Uh-huh. And when they talk about buying, build, hire, and buy. What are they talking about buying, and from whom?
I mean, I think you should think we're having a faculty lunch, and we're going to get some catering services. It's things like that, and so the idea would would be to get that more of that into local businesses.
Mm-hmm. Yesterday afternoon, one of our producers, Connor Graham, spoke with Elaine Carroll. She's the director of a relatively new organization that's come to Baltimore recently. It's called the Jane Addams Resource Corporation. They're based in Chicago. They're doing job training for people in Park Heights, and they're training in areas like welding and manufacturing, that kind of stuff. Here's what she had to say about the work that they're doing.
So our model operates on a few practices that we really think makes this a well-oiled machine. One is that we simulate the work environment. So the training program itself actually looks like a manufacturing plant. We also, down to the punch clock, have people punching in and punching out. Our instructors in the welding and CNC program really emulate the shop foreman. And then those trainees that are moving into more leadership roles will, you know, be promoted to a shift manager position. So it's really simulating that chain of command. Folks are learning how the chain of command works in the manufacturing culture. But not only that, the other part of that is just holding high accountability and making sure that we're running a program that simulates the work environment in the effect that when they get out there, they're understanding that there are certain things that are expected in those trades.
So Ray Wimbush, is this kind of holistic approach necessary when Hopkins talks about hiring folks for some of the entry-level jobs they have at Hopkins? You know, if it's a person who's been incarcerated, if it's a person who has not spent much time in the workforce, is it enough to give that person a job, or is it also going to take these other steps that the folks over in Park Heights are doing?
Well, I think it has to be holistic, and I think unfortunately a lot of programs don't view challenges in Baltimore as being holistic. I mean, you know, I was talking to a brother in Sandtown, Winchester last week, and he said to me, you know, I got job training, but I don't have a job. You know, it's like those things need to be linked. I think the wraparound model is something that's more in theory than in practice. When we talk about dealing with issues that are very indigenous to certain areas of Baltimore.
Natalie Sherman, in the piece you wrote about Hopkins last week, President Daniels, Ron Daniels, the president of Hopkins, said, quote, "This is an effort to demonstrate that we are listening to what we've been hearing," unquote. What have they been hearing?
I think that they've probably been, I mean, what he said on the call and what I think we've all heard as well is that there's frustration in the community that Hopkins' wealth and power has not sort of seemed to spill over in ways that people would want it to. Hopkins is the largest employer, but there's a sense that they're sort of a city on a hill and not benefiting the neighborhood around them. So I think he has really tried. You hear the ads on YPR, and he's really tried in other ways to change that view for altruistic reasons and for selfish reasons. It's part of Hopkins' success.
Mm-hmm. I want to add that we invited President Daniels as well as Ron Peterson, the head of Hopkins Medicine, on the show. They were not available this morning. Ray Wimbush, you mentioned that what you're doing with this task force is really a continuation of the work that Morgan's been doing for a long time. But, you know, very specifically, can Morgan provide jobs for certain people? Can Morgan provide training? Can Morgan as an institution be a place where people can go to be lifted out?
Well, I mean, the answer to that, of course, is yes. You know, I think what we do at Morgan is to take those who a lot of institutions reject. 34% of black folk in this state, you know, graduate from high school. And what we have to do is to educate people who have had educational abuse from K through 12. And I think we do a good job of it. I think what we are also trying to do is connect with the work that we're going to be doing in this task force with policymakers. Because in the final analysis, you know, Tom, a lot of this stuff has to do with the will of people who can really make changes in the city. We know, really, I've always said in the research that I do that there's nothing new about dealing with African-American issues of poverty and so forth. What the problem is trying to get people to actually implement some of the things that we put on the shelves after we do the study.
Yeah, so it's going to take some cooperation with state legislature. And Natalie Sherman, on a call that Hopkins had last week, also before this, earlier in the month, Hopkins and other hospitals announced an initiative to create 1,000 jobs. This is places like Mercy Hospital and MedStar, Union Memorial. And they say that program will require some modest changes to existing state regulations. Now, we should be clear that that's a different thing than what we're talking about with Hopkins Local. But in general, did Hopkins say, you know, this is something we can do on our own, we're happy and willing to go it alone, or is it going to take a lot of cooperation in terms of changing laws or providing funding?
For the 1,000 jobs or for Hopkins Local?
No, for Hopkins Local.
Hopkins Local, they definitely felt like they could do it. It seemed had done a lot of research, making sure that they were within legal barrier rights and comparing themselves to other programs. And they definitely said that it was something they were committed to and that they hoped other places would follow suit.
And Ray Wimbush, just as we finish up here quickly, are there examples of other places that you know of? I know you've spent a lot of time in Chicago, went to school at the University of Chicago. Are there examples where big institutions like Morgan, like Hopkins, can really help the surrounding communities?
Well, I'm biased because I went to the University of Chicago and lived in Hyde Park, but I think it's probably one of the better examples of cooperation between universities and communities in the nation.
Dr. Ray Wimbush is the director of the Institute for Urban Research at Morgan State University and a member of the university's Gray Days, Brighter Tomorrows Task Force. Natalie Sherman is the real estate reporter for the Baltimore Sun. She writes the Real Estate Wonk blog on BaltimoreSun.com. Thanks so much to you both. I really appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you.
We've got a link to more information on our website, WYPR.org/Maryland Morning. What would you like to see institutions like Morgan State and Hopkins do to improve conditions throughout Baltimore? Send us a tweet at Maryland Morning or drop us an email to mdmorning@wypr.org. I'm Tom Hall. News is coming up in just a bit, but after that, the stories from The Stoop with the guiding forces behind the Stoop storytelling series. First, here's Mr. Stoerner.